Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I'm your host, Sean. Danny, tomorrow, I'll be living in Antarctica, basically. It's supposed to be negative 40 after wind chill.
Yeah, I saw one of my wife's cousins posted a picture of basically the forecast for the state of North Dakota, and there was quite a few negative 50s on there.
Yeah, I mean, I just imagine, like, hell freezing over, that's what it's like.
Right. I mean, if it makes you feel any better, I mean, we're going to get some rain, maybe. Maybe like a 3/4 inch of rain tomorrow. Like, we're just suffering the same fate as you. It's miserable.
And what, it's going to be like 50 degrees?
No, like 61 or 62.
Man, how are you going to survive out there?
Dude, you know what, man? You know what? You can do me a favor, dude. Just send all your thoughts and prayers my way.
Is everybody going through the grocery store, like taking extra supplies in?
Just, yeah, man. Like North Face stores are being ransacked. It's just utter insanity. Stormwatch 2007. We're not just gonna get one rainstorm or two rainstorms. We have three separate storms coming through. It's gonna last us from tomorrow until Sunday.
Oh man, it sounds like a long week,
dude. We might get like 2 inches of rain over the course of the week. We might die. It's like Noah's Ark.
That's just terrible,
and I know you're gonna cry and complain like in a couple days after it hits here. It's gonna go out there and it's gonna turn into a blizzard, like you've never been through a blizzard before.
I've never had a DQ blizzard. I hope it's everything I wish it'll be.
Yes. You're southern Canada. That's what you get for moving so close to Detroit, man.
Sometimes I like to drink my coffee as I'm waiting for my game to load up and just stare outside and just be like, poor fools that have to go out there. Poor fools.
Right. have you resorted to just storing beer on the porch because it just keeps it cooler than in the fridge? Are you one of them people?
That's a bad strategy. That's how you get. That's how you lose beer because it gets too cold.
You got to remember it, though. Yeah, exactly.
It's putting it in the freezer.
Well, I guess when it gets down to the negatives, yeah. Like, but I guess if you have a warm beer and you want to cool it up, just throw it outside for about a good, 15, 20 seconds.
Yeah.
It's like pouring liquid nitrogen over it.
Yeah, I was thinking about, if I brewed, I would just have to just put, the lid on top of it and put it out there, and I just let it sit for, probably 10 minutes, and then I'd be done.
Exactly.
It'd probably be done cooling off.
Speaking of which, man, I decided to get a little adventurous while we're recording, Sean.
Oh, what did you do this time?
I'm trying novelty. I don't know if it would be considered a novelty beer, but I considered it one. It's from a Japanese brewery. It is a wasabi pale ale with green tea.
Interesting. I never thought about doing wasabi. I feel like the problem with wasabi is it doesn't have flavor. It's just hot.
Right. And this it has a little bit of warmth to it. It's not necessarily hot, but they're going full Budweiser, I guess, on this because they got the ingredients. Water, malt, barley, hops, sugar, yeast, green tea, and wasabi.
Nice. Where's the rice?
It doesn't have any rice, man.
Oh, jeez. It's not very good, then.
It's not authentic Japanese, even though it's brewed in Japan.
It's not very authentic to Bud Light.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, to Bud Light, yes. Or Budweiser.
Bud Light has more rice in it than that Japanese beer.
Yes.
Oh. Oh man. I can't get over it. So me and this buddy at work, we always now our new thing now is because of the Budweiser Bud Light thing. And because as soon as we talked about it at work that week, I just made sure everybody knew that I guess I was kind of being a dick. I'm being that guy. I was like, did you guys hear about Bud Light, Budweiser? They have to put the ingredients on, and one of their main ingredients is rice. I was like, it's not even American as I'm drinking my coffee. Just slam it. So now we refer it to rice water. Like one of our guys at work, I'm like, you ready for that first rice water of the day? He's all, hells yeah. Like, he's a super Bud Light drinker. Doesn't care. Has no shame. All pride. I mean, I respect him because he goes, he's like, it's like the perfect. And he's like, it's, and then after I have like four or five, like, it just goes down. I'm just like, you know what? You live you, bro. You live you.
Right. Like, I had, you know, one of the poolside beers that, you know, I finally convinced you to try, the Summer Shandies.
Yeah.
And I went to give one to my sister's neighbor because we were, like, you know, using his pool.
Yep.
And he was like, oh, no, thanks, man. As he sips on his Coors Light, he's like, I don't like my beer to taste like anything. See, those are the Budweiser and Coors drinkers I can respect, because at least they know what they're doing. Like, they're not trying to lie to themselves or anybody else that it tastes great or it's delicious or anything like that.
It's that person that orders their hamburger with meat, cheese, and ketchup only. That's the only way they'll eat it. Like, they don't care. That's their way. It is what it is.
And, well, maybe they might get extra pickles if they're feeling adventurous.
No, even then, it's got to be on the side.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if they're feeling adventurous, they can put some on, but, you know, they don't want to cover up the taste of that rice water.
pretty much.
So, I actually got to go do my usual thing that I did last year. I haven't had, you know, well, actually not even last year, because last year I didn't, like 2 years ago now, man.
Wow. That thing you do every year that you did 2 years ago?
I keep forgetting it's already 2019, man. And I forgot it's 2019 already, man. I keep forgetting. Time flies, man. So back in 2017, when I was going to Bottle Logic every week to pick up their latest release.
It's not a drinking problem. It's a hobby.
It is a hobby. You know, some people collect, like, action figures. Some people collect diecasts. I just collect bottles of beer.
I mean, hopefully, since you haven't been there for really a year, you would think that you would have enough room now in your fridge for, like, food and maybe more beer.
No, I've just been buying other beer.
That was the point.
Yes. And like, the hoarder in me, I still have some of the Bottle Logic beers, because, like, I drank all the duplicates, and now I just have a couple of them left.
Oh, nice, nice, nice.
But, so... Bottle Logic, they released a collaboration with Jay Wakefield in Florida called Layers of Influenced. Layers of Influence. English hard. it's a bourbon barrel-aged stout with poppy seeds and honey.
Nice.
So basically, like, they're trying to recreate this Polish pastry.
Okay.
And I've never had that pastry, but I can imagine when they talk about, you know, the term pastry stout – this would be like the picture example of what a pastry stout would be. Like, I just got a little taster, and Jody took a drink of it, and she was like, she enjoyed it. Like, you could take, she was like, I can even taste the honey, but it's too sweet. I don't think I can even drink a full taster of it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was super sweet.
That's crazy.
I mean, it tasted like baklava just covered in honey.
That's not a bad thing.
No, if that's what you, but I don't know if I can drink a full, you know, pint of it.
Fair enough.
But I ended up getting a little, like, a bunch of little tasters. I got their latest Creature Series tart ale that had a coconut and pineapple, and it came out this weird glow in the dark green color. The surprisingly was good. Everyone was saying that they just tasted nothing but coconut. So I was a little nervous, but I just tasted the pineapple, so that was good for me, I guess, because I don't like coconut. So the next beer I tried was called Cinque Per Amici.
Mm-hmm.
It's an Imperial Mocha Stout with a Mostra coffee. And Mostra is a coffee maker, coffee house, I guess, down in San Diego. And they've become the hot go-to for collabs with coffee-flavored beers. Then I got another pour of the Leche Barracho that I had before, their tequila bourbon barrel-aged Mexican stout with chilies, and another bourbon barrel-aged porter with espresso and Turkish figs.
Mm-hmm.
which that was actually kind of good. I was a little hesitant to get that one, but I was like, nah, it's just a taster. Worst case scenario, I can just chug it down. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not surprising that you found another coffee beer.
Right. That's the other thing. That's why I saw, I'm like, oh, it has coffee, but it also has figs. But then after we left there, we went to Downtown Disney because they've opened up the Downtown Disney location of Ballast Point.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so we get there, and you walk in, and all that's like, it's like just a little table with like a hostess and then stairs. And when I walked in, I heard somebody asking about a table, and they said basically that there's like assigned seating, but you have to have a reservation, and they're booked like weeks in advance already for the weekend pretty much. And then the rest of the place is first come, first serve.
Nice.
And so it, like, we walked around a little bit to see, and there was, nobody was leaving. So we kind of walked around trying to figure out where, if we were going to go back, get somewhere to eat. So we ended up going back there and got lucky. But what were you eating, man? There was, like, large groups showing up. Like, they wanted to have a birthday party on a Saturday night at Downtown Disney at a brand new place with, like, 10 people.
Oh, boy.
And then getting upset that they couldn't find a table.
Well, no. It's just, that's just so dumb. Like, I don't understand why people wouldn't think about that. Like, anywhere is hard to get a table at on a Saturday. Friday, Saturday. It's like, come on. And then 10 people, nonetheless.
Right.
I mean, hell, so, if it was a Tuesday, I would still call and make reservations for 10 people.
Or at least call ahead and make sure, like, that they even if they'd have the capacity or just say, or even call, like, say, hey, we're going to be there soon. Mm-hmm. Would we have a place, kind of a thing. But no, man. So, and especially, like, the place just opened, had opened a couple days before, like literally like 3 days before.
Yeah.
So this was the first Saturday that the place was open.
Oh, wow. Ballsy move.
Yes, exactly. But it's all Ballast Point's fault for, I don't know, not holding a spot for them.
Damn. But, man. That's what happens when you get sold out to the big people. They just don't care anymore.
Right. So, and one thing, like, I've been to three now of the Ballast Point locations,
mm-hmm.
and they're all kind of the same. Like, the only thing different is, like, each one has maybe, we'll have, like, one exclusive tap, mm-hmm. and then the menu varies a little bit. Like, there's a couple specialty items on the menu.
Hmm.
But so far, my favorite one is the one in San Diego, the Little Italy.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
I've only been to the one in Temecula. And I don't even think I had food.
Like, I like Temecula. No, we just showed up and had beer. I remember we were there. There was like a group of us.
Yeah.
Your brother and mom and stuff. I like that one just because it's big. And there's a ton of seating because there's like two floors of seating. But the one in Little Italy has the best food.
Gotcha. Fair enough. One day I'll get there.
Yeah, I mean, if you come back, we can just go to Downtown Disney, get our parking validated. Don't have to pay for parking.
Dude, that's funny. Just go down to Downtown Disney. I'll just, like, take a picture, like, getting crazy, and then leave. No Disneyland for me.
No, man.
It's too expensive.
Like,
now.
unless you want to, like, oh, it is, dude, like, $500 a day, even if you just go by yourself, if you don't have a pass. You don't want to eat.
Yeah, and then it's, like, busy on off-peak time on a Thursday.
Right. There's no not busy time.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it might just be, dead for a few hours in the morning, and then once people start, like, getting off work, then it's packed immediately because all the pass holders show up because they just want to have dinner or go on one ride.
Yeah, that I expect. But no. No, no. It's, like, all day. Boo.
Right. Exactly. So I got invited to go watch the Royal Rumble at a friend's house on Sunday night.
So WWE Royal Rumble?
WWE.
W.
I haven't watched
W. Anything. Bush. I mean E. E.
WWE. Dub sideways dub.
Sounds like some dubstep's getting ready to drop. I'm just waiting for that sick bass to kick in.
Well, someone needs to bring the fax machine to the party, too. Or the AOL dial-up sound.
Oh, good times. Kids these days just won't understand.
Not, it's something only 90s kids will understand.
Let's go on the internet. You mean AOL? That's all there is, damn it. That's all there is.
Exactly. God, Mom, hang up. I'm trying to look at porn.
Trying to get this hottie girl from, like, you know, some other part of the state. This was before it was like, don't ever trust that it was a girl. It's never a girl online.
No. Man, I've been trying to download this picture of this girl's boobs for like 2 hours, Mom, and you picked up the phone and ruined it.
I think I can see it through the blurriness. Enhanced. Well, enhanced.
I think you're even too young for this, because I figured out a hack back when they had the VCRs and the Playboy channel on cable.
Yeah.
Like, if you set the VCR to a certain channel and adjusted the tracking and stuff, you could, like, kind of sort of see wavy people having sex on Playboy.
Back when everybody had, like, the illegal cable box.
Yes. Back before they could, like, trace you.
Yeah. That showed them.
Exactly. But I was tasked with, of course, bringing the beers.
Mm.
And so...
And you were with people some, that, you know, don't drink the micro craft stuff?
No, they do. Okay. Well, it was funny because I was told they do.
Yeah.
But then one guy showed up. He brought a 12-pack of Michelob Ultras.
He's always an Ultra guy.
Yeah. He, like, apparently that rice water was a little too heavy for him. But then, like, he got there and, like, he opened up the box and pulled one out, and he was pissed.
Oh.
Because, like it was cheap, and, like, written on the side was, like, 55 calories per bottle. And he realized that it was all a marketing ploy and a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were only 7-ounce bottles.
Like, when he says, did he say he got a bottle of Jack and he brought one of those, like, little samplers?
Exactly. So we asked him if he was going to make the Corona margaritas, but instead use the Michelob Ultra, because that's about the same size bottle. Wait, and he had twin babies and stuff, so we're like, wait, isn't that the baby's bottle?
Wow. What a nice parent. You're getting your kid booze already.
I know, man. Well, it's just, I mean, at that point, it's like, that's probably even, like, less consistency than that rice water. I grabbed a bunch of bottles out of the fridge to bring to share, and then I grabbed some, like, you know, brought a couple, some IPAs, just in case nobody wanted the stouts.
Mm-hmm.
But I was looking through my fridge, and, like, I only had a couple bombers left in there, and listening to another podcast, they were talking about how most breweries have started to abandon the bomber system. You know, because even like Bottle Logic, their bottles are only 16 ounces and 6 ounces, I guess, that little bonus extra.
Yeah.
And then, but everybody else is pretty much coming in cans now.
Is it just the cost of glass?
Well, I think part of it is like, I guess the price point of the same, like with ice cream or anything like that, where it's like they kind of shrunk the size of ice cream, but they still charge the same price.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
But then at the same time, though, too, it's like, you know, I can drink a 16-ounce bottle of beer. I don't know if I can always drink a bomber, the 16 ounces and a half a pint, basically.
Yeah. No, I got you. I mean, some of the bombers are a little tough.
Yes. So that's why I pretty much just brought all my bombers, trying to hopefully dump, unload them on some people so that I could share with them, so I don't have to, you know, drink the whole thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
But man, the Royal Rumble, man, like, I've seen, like, clips and stuff. I've never actually watched it. So, you know, they have their little pre-show where they bring out, like, what's supposed to be unimportant matches.
Yeah.
But one of the matches on there was the a championship match between Shinsuke Nakamura and this guy Rusev.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of weird that they put that on there, because they've been trying to push Rusev with the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And all these rumors are going around that Shinsuke might be leaving WWE to go join All Elite Wrestling.
Oh, jeez.
So, of course, Nakamura won his title back that he had lost.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone agreed that the conspiracy theory there was that they only let him win so that he didn't leave.
Gotcha.
Some of the highlights, like, during that match with Rusev and Nakamura, his wife, Rusev's wife, got hurt. And so they had a ladies' Royal Rumble where, like, 30 people enter, and basically you win by throwing somebody over the, like, you win, but you get eliminated by being thrown over the top rope and having both your feet hit the ground. And so the last person gets a guaranteed title shot at WrestleMania of their choice. So Becky Lynch lost.
I thought it was the heavyweight championship. Is it changed to any championship title?
It's any now, yes.
Okay.
Except for tag team, because I guess you can't win that by yourself. So, like, there's the U.S. championship, the heavyweight championship. So, well, there's two champions now. There's a Raw one and a SmackDown one, so they kind of split it up.
Oh, gotcha.
But Becky Lynch went in to wrestle Asuka, and she ended up losing the rematch to get her title back. And so when it was Lana's turn to come out for the Royal Rumble, she was, like, just hamming up that injury. Like, she could barely walk. And she got about halfway down and collapsed. And of course, Becky Lynch comes out and starts pleading with the WWE officials, and the guy's like, fine, just go in there. And of course, she wins the Royal Rumble, so she'll get another shot at her championship. But
gotcha.
One of the cool things was some of the wrestlers got to show off their athleticism. Like, one wrestler, she got what they thought got thrown over, and she ended up, like, grabbing her legs around the post and just hanging on, and then finally, like, lifting herself up back into the ring.
Okay. So, is there two matches now? So, there's, like, a ladies and a guys?
Yes, there's now a ladies and a guys. And the ladies one took over an hour.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and so, like, it was late. And they still had the championship match for the WWE championship between Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles, where Daniel Bryan ended up retaining. And then they had the Universal Championship, where Brock Lesnar defeated Finn Balor. A lot of people are upset about this match happening because they wanted to see Brock Lesnar fight Braun Strowman, just a couple beasts going at it. But I don't know, man. I think this match was better just because Brock Lesnar decided he wanted to sell the moves of a smaller guy, and he sold it well, not oversold.
Yeah.
But okay. And he ended up winning via submission, oddly enough. Instead of just pummeling the poor kid. And, you know, because people forget that, you know, Brock Lesnar, you know, he's not like CM Punk went to UFC and just sucked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brock Lesnar was actually able to go to UFC and compete and win a championship there.
Yeah.
So he was, you know, gold medalist in the Olympics, college champion. So he's got wrestling skills. He can actually wrestle.
Yeah.
And he's huge. The only thing he couldn't do was make it in the NFL.
Yeah, did he go for a defensive line, or was it like linebacker?
I think he tried out for linebacker with the Minnesota Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
And so then for the men's championship, they had already predetermined who was coming out last, because it was like a mixed tag team thing championship, and then the winners. The woman and them would go in number 30 for the women's Royal Rumble, and the guy would go in number 30 for the men's.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was coming down, R-Truth, and he started doing his little routine that he does before he gets into the ring, and Nia Jax just shoves him out of the way and goes into the ring and starts, like, tossing people out for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then she got kind of like taken out by Randy Orton and Rey Mysterio. They kind of teamed up. He did the 619 and the RKO. And then in the end, it was down to two guys, Braun Strowman and Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone thought Braun Strowman was going to win, and he didn't. But it was kind of interesting, the crowd there, because there was some guys that were like interested in it, and then there was some people, one guy there and his kids that were just like super excited when it was over. It was kind of fun that people cared that much, I guess.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so I thought I was going to suffer because I didn't get home and get in bed till like almost 11 o'clock at night, and I had to wake up at 1:45 in the morning.
Wow. Way to commit to wrestling, Danny.
Yes. Well, it was more just hanging out and getting drunk with friends. I kind of liked the wrestling. It was just like a...
The reason?
A bonus, yes. A reason for the season.
That's funny.
So, did you watch the Birds of Prey trailer, Sean?
You mean the 5-second video that you sent me? Yeah, I did.
The super teaser of Harley Quinn and some other people?
I literally had to read the article to actually get better footage of what the hell was going on than that video. I mean, the video is basically like, it's like very short, and it's just like, boom, 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 and it constantly flashes against these people. And I couldn't even see who it was. And then in the article, it actually had like the still frame, and you're like, oh, that's who that's kind of arguably supposed to be. So.
Right. And I mean, to me, it was a cool trailer, and it felt very Trainspotting, because they show Harley Quinn kind of dancing, and then the music kind of picks up, and the drums kind of kick in, and then to the beat of the drums, it's just like, doom, 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 doom. And that's as fast as they pan through each of the characters.
Yeah. Is this supposed to be a movie or a show?
Movie.
Okay. Gotcha.
It's supposed to either be a sequel or an erasing of Suicide Squad. One of the two. I don't know which, but...
Oh, man. We'll see.
Because, I mean, they do have Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, but she's not wearing the Daddy's Little Monster shirt.
Oh, yeah. They changed it up. They're still selling.
But,
I mean, it makes sense. Like, Harley Quinn is such a high-profit, like, DC character. It makes no sense for them not to be able to consistently put out a halfway decent product with her.
Well, it's DC, you know, challenge accepted.
Hold my beer.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, in honor of Harley Quinn being a lady, we'll do the Reddit Hold My Cosmo.
Pretty much.
But, so you go through the characters. The first one I'm, like, apprehensively excited about. You have Mary Elizabeth Winstead as Huntress.
Your waifu.
Huntress,
not the girl. Huntress.
Yes. Well, actually, Mary Elizabeth Winstead is up there. I thought she was pretty badass in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yeah. That's fair.
Then you have Black Canary. So, according to the thing, she'll be a singer in the film. So, in the comics, she's a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
That basically her voice is her power. She's, you know, screams.
Yep.
And she's like what's known as a metahuman. So she's got like super, like basically her scream is superpower, like almost, but not quite to the level of Black Bolt. Because at least she can whisper and talk. Hers is more under control, I guess.
Yeah.
This is going to be an interesting one. They have Rosie Perez as ex or current Gotham PD officer Renee Montoya.
Uh-huh.
Who is going to be the Question.
Yes.
Who also, if she was a dinosaur, would be a lick-a-lot-a-puss.
Interesting.
And it'd be interesting because in the Justice League Unlimited comic series, which is where I first learned of the Huntress,
mm-hmm.
one of the story arcs was basically a romance, a budding romance between the male version of the Question and the Huntress.
Hmm.
So are they going to make that lady love thing happen?
I don't know.
Before Batwoman gets on there? I don't know.
We'll have to see.
It's especially from that spoilerific trailer, apparently. apparently Harley Quinn likes I can tell you everything that I know about the trailer. Harley Quinn likes lollipops and like girly orangey yellow drinks.
Yeah.
And so then they have Cassandra Cain, who she's a child, but eventually she grows up at some point to become Batgirl in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Victor Zsasz. Zsasz?
Yeah.
Just basically he's like a killer that notches body count into his skin, kind of like what's his name in Black Panther?
Yeah, nothing too crazy, just kind of more of a dark villain.
Yes. And Ewan McGregor as Roman Sionis / Black Mask.
Which is interesting.
I love the description. Why is that?
I don't know. Like, I think, like, he's never played, like, a bad guy. So it's going to be interesting to think of Ian McGregor as kind of like a devious, like, I think he has, like, the personality to be, like, a very smart character. So I feel like that aspect is good. I just, like, it's going to be fun to see, like, can he be a bad guy, though?
Right, and I see this, I mean, from reading this, because he's from a wealthy family, I see him being more, like, controlled, methodical, and I can see Ewan McGregor, like, basically an evil Obi-Wan Kenobi.
when the Jedi's turn dark.
Exactly. But I love the description. Like, this, it starts off, as a child, Roman Sionis was dropped on his head and later attacked by a rabid raccoon. Incidents that would have traumatized anyone, but devastated the boy especially because the way his wealthy Gothamite parents went out of their way to make sure no one ever found out about them. And then there's one character wearing like basically a yellow crop top, tank top, and like I can't tell if it's like black or green pants with a weird looking belt, mm-hmm. holding a baseball bat. And it's like, basically, the article is like, well, we can see everyone else's face in the teaser. This character identity is left unclear, which is interesting. The bat would immediately make one assume that we're looking at Harley here, and it definitely seems like it's hers. But anyone can hold a baseball bat, which is opens up to the possibility that this might actually be one of the most important characters of the Birds of Prey,
mm-hmm.
Barbara Gordon.
Yeah.
AKA the actual Batgirl, which, because in the comics, the current Birds of Prey, well, I guess not current because the book got canceled. But the most recent iteration of Birds of Prey was Huntress, Black Canary, and Batgirl.
Yeah. So,
and rumors are that Barbara Gordon's supposed to make an appearance in the movie.
That'd be interesting. I think it'll be interesting. I mean, they sound like they have a good cast. It's, you know, are they going to have a good script and are they going to make it douchey and terrible and rush it?
Well, it's not supposed to hit theaters till February 7th of next year.
Oh, wow. We got like a full year.
And here's the full title of the movie. It's Birds of Prey, and then in parentheses, and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
All right. I've written off this movie as terrible now.
Well, I mean, from that, it sounds like she's going to break away from Joker, is the only thing I can gather, but it's just extra long for no reason.
Yeah, somebody's stupid. I guess hopefully we'll see, as Comic-Con gets here in July, hopefully we'll have our first major trailer.
Right, I'm sure, because, I mean, even that one year when they were making Superman Returns, they were still filming the movie in Australia. The director got on a plane with some footage, flew into San Diego, went to Comic-Con, showed the footage, did a panel, went back to the airport, got back on a plane, and flew back to Australia, pretty much.
True. DC's like, you will get your ass here. Thought somebody was not going to Comic-Con this year. Or am I just thinking of Sony with E3?
You might be thinking of E3. I don't think anybody's officially announced their participation or lack of participation at Comic-Con yet.
Okay.
I know Marvel didn't do anything last year, but they haven't officially announced this year. So, I mean, the rumors are probably that they're not going to do Comic-Con anymore. But
I would never know, because I mean, doesn't Disney still has that fan fest every year, right?
Well, it's every other year, so it won't be this year. It'll be next year.
See, that's where I think Disney can get it going every year. Now that they have Star Wars and Marvel, they have content to show to get people to go. You know what I mean?
And Fox.
And too, Fox.
When that deal... Yes.
Yeah, I think at some point, I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, Disney just has their own Comic-Con going on every year with how much they own into the nerd enterprises.
Right.
Wouldn't it be crazy if they bought Star Trek? What's up?
Well, that would be weird, man. Yeah, definitely. If they bought, I don't think they could, though, because I think CBS is hanging on to that shit for dear life, because that's all they have to bribe people to go to their streaming service, because they made that new Star Wars show, Discovery.
Yeah.
And they're just like, hey, we're making a new Star Wars show. We're making a new Star Wars show. It's coming out. It's coming out. Oh, yeah, and by the way, it's only going to be on the streaming service. If you want to watch it, you got to get the streaming service.
Who does anybody care about CBS?
Well, they do have, well, at least at one point, not that long ago, the highest rated drama on television in NCIS.
Oh, boy. That's fair. They do have all those shows.
The old people, because, you know, what's funny is they've always been trying to, like, lose their reputation as the old people channel.
Yeah.
And they just keep signing and making all these old people shows. Why, I guess, get rid of your audience if it works for you.
Yeah, I know. That sounds like bad business. Don't get rid of the people that are buying.
Exactly. So I decided to start actually reading comics, Sean, instead of just buying them.
What? That's crazy.
I know, right? It's weird. So it helps that, you know, comics either have short runs or DC decides to cancel them like they did the Birds of Prey and the one that I'm currently starting to read, Batwoman.
Are they're like, oh, but, Danny's reading it? Cancel it. It's over. Okay, good guy. Good. Yeah, GG, guys. GG.
It's more like, oh, there's women in a comic book. It has main characters. Let's just give them like 18 to 20 issues. That's enough, right, to make the women happy, the whammon.
The whammon.
You're welcome, man thing. You're welcome, friend of the show, man thing. All your whammon.
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 He doesn't like whammon in the main roles. He just wants.
No, he just doesn't like that term. That's like he's like. I kind of introduced him to the YouTube asshole that makes those videos, and he's
triggered.
He's like I'm triggered. Yes, he threatened to leave me in the middle of the road in upstate New York.
What's he gonna do? Threaten to not listen to the show? Oh no!
Exactly. Well, at this point now, it's too late. He's already heard it.
Oh, you're in too deep now. You can't get out. It's like quicksand.
Exactly. You've gone. You're past the tip.
It was supposed just to be the tip, but it ended up being more.
Yes, the whole thing, all of it. So the one book I finished is Skybound comic, Extremity.
Okay.
Basically, the story kind of revolves around this brother and sister, and the sister was an artist until she had her drawing hand chopped off.
Wow, this is...
And so...
Jesus. What the hell?
It's
that's random.
It's pretty dark, but it's good. And it's only, like... I think maybe there's probably two trades. It's probably two trades worth of story. It's not a very long story.
Okay.
It's not like Batman where you got to spend 70 years worth of comics reading it to catch up on the history. Basically, like, there's these two tribes and, like, it takes place in a future where, like, technology rose. It's almost, like, similar to, what the hell is the name of that game with Aloy and the dinosaur robots and the bow and arrows.
Oh, why are you doing this to me?
Horizon Zero Dawn. Don't ask follow-up questions. Horizon Zero Dawn. It's very similar, like, technology-wise, as Horizon Zero Dawn, where, like, there's one group that's kind of shunned the technology, and it's Lincoln says that it's evil, and then another group that's trying to figure out how it works so then they can use it for their own benefits.
Nice.
And so, like, you start off reading it from, like, one tribe's point of view, and then you kind of hear the other side story. And so it basically boils down to war bad, peace good.
Fair enough.
But it's a really good book. I highly recommend picking it up. Like I said, it's just two, maybe three trade paperbacks.
Is it still ongoing or is it done?
It's done.
Nice.
It is done.
Hashtag nice.
So, hashtag 69 nice. So I highly recommend. Like I said, Skybound Comics. I think they're partnered with Image to kind of distribute or at least like work with their comics because I think Skybound is. I don't know if he fully owns it or if he just owns part of it. Robert Kirkman.
Mm-hmm.
Because because even The Walking Dead is like Image Comics through Skybound.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So they have some kind of agreement. And their stuff, man, if you want to go to a comic book store and pick up a good book, anything by Skybound is I would highly recommend. They don't do long stories. Really, there's a couple. One that's kind of ongoing, but it's called Birthright. It's pretty good. That's one that I'm actually caught up on. Like the story of that is basically this kid disappears. The dad gets accused of kidnapping, like murdering him and hiding the body. And the parents get divorced, but you know he couldn't get like nothing happened to the dad because they couldn't find the body. Mm-hmm. The kid comes back and he's a grown man, though his brother, who was older than him, you know, is younger than him. And so he's basically like this prophet to like save this other alternate world from the super evil.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow he ends up back on Earth. And so it just kind of goes from there. But yeah, so that's a pretty good book too. Birthright.
Nice. I have that. I downloaded for my trip to Vegas. I downloaded White Knight on my tablet. I got to finish. It's a Batman story by Sean Murphy that I heard was pretty good. I got to get that going.
Right, and Sean Murphy's a good writer, and Batman's a good story you can tell. So yeah, I don't see how it could be bad.
Yeah, I just love his gritty artwork. Like, it's so different than a lot of what you see out there. When you see his work, I already know. When I went through a comic book store, I would look, and if I saw the artwork, I knew it was Sean Murphy. That's how distinctive it is.
Right, and that's one of the things, you know, like, you know, when you're going to a comic book store and you're looking for something, you definitely judge that book by its cover. And if you can see an artist that you like his style or something like that, you kind of tend to be drawn towards his work.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So this is something that affects you necessarily more than me. Bungie decided to get divorced from Activision, Sean.
I was going to say they got divorced. Yeah, pretty much. So during the winter break.
And Bungie, I was going to say, they got divorced and Bungie got to keep the kid.
They did. Can you imagine if somehow Activision kept it and Bungie was like, dropped it, everything and just had to go do a new game? Just the chaos of the Destiny world.
Would you still play the game if it was wholly Activision owned?
I don't know if I could. I imagine it would change so much. Like, everything that Bungie, like, the style, what Bungie does that's throughout the game would just be, like, over. It just,
right,
like,
right.
There'd be, like, all these new maps and new guns for PvP, and that would be it. Like minimal story campaigns and other things to do.
Less end-game activity and more just PvP.
Yep, pretty much. But
we might get Destiny. You might get zombie mode.
I think that's why we have the Taken. Aren't they like dumb? They're like zombies in a way.
Right, but you don't have zombie horde mode like that. Call of Duty.
I guess we don't. We don't have a horde mode like that. We do have a new horde mode though, but it's not like that. Sad, sad, sad.
Exactly.
So yes, during the winter break, it was announced that Bungie and Activision are splitting up. So Activision worked with Bungie at the very beginning, fronted the bill on a lot of capital to get the game going. And game one has gone by, you know, we're in year two of the second game. And I think sales have been down. I think people complain a lot about the, I guess I've heard people complain about the microtransactions a little bit in Destiny, but it's not so bad. I think like people wanted more like free shaders and stuff. But I mean, again, it's not a debate where we could talk about that all day if, you know, cosmetic loot crate are worth it or not. But, you know, it was interesting to hear that they split up. And I think there's a lot of, a little bit of uncertainty. So what we know for sure right now is that everything that's been planned for the season pass is basically still on schedule to happen. It's really going to be the year three, and I would say Destiny 3 is really where's the question going to be at. And I know we're going to talk about it probably at E3 this year and whatnot, but there's a lot of speculation about the new consoles coming out in 2020, and that sounds like the year when Destiny 3 is going to be out too. So there's a lot of uncertainty, and I think there's a lot of some people are worried that Bungie is not going to be able to handle the money aspect without this backup, and they're going to have to be a self-publisher, and that might cause problems as well. But nobody knows for sure, like, what problems that's going to cause or how that's going to go. You have to think everybody plays this game, and, you know, they're adding DLC, and they're trying to find that sweet price point, you know? What is a good price for content that, you know, people are spending hundreds of hours on? And I think that's what they're going to really have to figure out.
Well, I guess, like, one thing that might help them in the split is if people keep doing the microtrans stuff, paying so they can get the loot boxes, is that Bungie has full control over that money as opposed to Activision maybe siphoning some of that off into either other games or towards their stockholders.
Yeah. The thing is in Destiny 2, since they updated the Eververse system and how you could actually use bounties to get different cosmetic items, I have really not bought any loot crates in year 2. I think people
you're not the whale that people are going after.
I'm just a sad whale just going through the ocean that nobody's hunting. I'm not the Moby Dick.
You're not that whale that keeps the game alive, man. I'm sure there's people out there that just throw money at this game because they throw money at everything else. They got more money than time.
Yeah, they're like, oh my god, I gotta get that new shader. And, you know, because there's always new shaders and new, and the big thing is emotes. People fucking freak out for emotes. Like, that's like, I think that's where they get really their cash, where people buy loot crates. I think it's for the emotes. They try to, like, get them. Like, I was, like, there was a special, like, Iron Banner, like, axe emote, but you could only get it through buying a special package. And, like, I've seen people buy it. So,
well, that's one thing where Destiny does really well as an MMO is, you know, an MMO is basically that loot, the gear is like your way of, you know, swinging your proverbial dick around. And yeah. So if you can get, you know, even if it's something that costs money, if you have something that most people don't, you will be the envy of the gamer, of the, you know, community.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, I guess, like, I do spend money, but I spend a lot more of my money more on, like, the Bungie store, getting shirts and stuff, not really, like, getting anything for, like, the game, you know? I have, like, way too many Bungie shirts, I mean, that's for sure, but I don't have, like...
So you bought real-life shaders?
I did. I didn't get my $125 necklace, though. But, you know, it's cool.
When are you going to get that Hunter tattoo or whatever class you play?
It's a Titan, you son of a bitch.
that's me.
How fucking dare you?
are you a little triggered?
Mister, I can't fucking jump. I'm just gonna throw Mister, I'm gonna go right back to the throwing shade, man. Can't handle it.
That's fine. I can handle it, man. You know, like when you guys have been practicing the same thing over and over again, and I jump in and I'm like, so where do I go? And you're like, we're over here, and I'm like, yeah, I don't see you. I'm just gonna go home now. Bye.
I mean, it totally makes sense. I don't blame you.
So, you know, as someone who doesn't play Destiny, like, I'm cautiously optimistic with what's going on. How do you feel about this whole, like, divorce?
I don't know if I'm really that worried yet. I mean, they're on track. I think they have a loyal enough fan base to where the split makes sense at this point. The game is, the Forsaken is doing very well. As much as people like to bitch about stuff, the new DLC season pass has been really, I think, a interesting new way of how product is brought to us. And it's definitely kept the game more fresh. So for people that don't know, Bungie used to release a major DLC and then minor DLCs throughout the year. So what the season pass is doing is instead of there being a drop with everything at once, on these little micro breaks, you pay for the three drops, but what they do is they spread things out. So that way there's content being released on, there's updates being added throughout the year. And it's not all in one week. So maybe one week you get a piece of the new DLC stuff and you have something new to do, on your weekly, task list versus you get everything and you're trying to get it all done at the same time. So that way you can get up there as fast as possible. I haven't really minded the change. I'm kind of going to wait until we hear news on the year 3 update, which will probably be sometime around E3, to see we'll see if there's any pricing changes and stuff like that. I really think right now it's too early to tell how good or bad it is. And if Bungie is saying that they're gonna have more freedom to do what they want to serve us, then I could only say I have to have faith right now. You know what I mean? They said they split up so they have more freedom to do what we want in the game. And, you know, I'm going to take them for the word. Now, whether that happens or not is to be seen.
Right. As of now, they haven't blown your faith in them as a developer. I mean, cause even their Halo games that they made were good. So, and it's not Activision, you know, so. But the one downside for them is if anything goes wrong, the fans can't hide put the blame on Activision hiding, you know, excusing Bungie.
Oh yeah, you're definitely right. It's all Bungie now. There's no excuse. Every mistake is now their mistake. There's no we added transactions because Activision made us do it, or hey, this DLC is too expensive because Activision, that's all gone.
Or if they messed up with the PvP initially and nobody liked it and everyone's like, well, they probably only did that because Activision told them to.
Yeah, maybe. Did I hear that? I never remember hearing about PvP like that.
I thought they had changed, in our little group chat, I thought they had changed the number of people on the team or different things like that that you guys weren't happy about initially. I know, you know, even though he claims to love it now, Gecko was salty about the PvP in the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, when they went from 6-man to 4-man. Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
It was different. So yeah. And you know, gamers love change, right?
Oh yeah, they love
slash change. Sarcasm.
They love it.
Well, they love to complain when things change, but they also extremely love to complain when something's the same too much either. This is too repetitive. Holy shit, that's different. They both suck.
Pretty much. All right, everybody, that's it for today's show. Thank you guys for hanging out with us for another great episode. Hopefully, for any of you guys that are dealing with the weather, please stay warm and don't get too crazy out there. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, all those fabulous places. Give us 5 stars. Give us some great comments. Say how much you love the show. We know you really hate the show, so, but you don't need to tell us that. Just lie and say how much you love it.
Yeah, like, you know, like pity sex, we'll take a pity 5 star.
Pretty much. All right, Danny.
And Sean's right, man. Yeah. Like, I was going to say, Sean's right. Make sure, you know, you're ready for the weather. You know, make sure you have, you know, an umbrella and a light sweater.
The towels are a bit scratchy. Oh, my God. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week, maybe.
All right, maybe. Yes. Bye.